He just draped Eli Drake across the carcass of Johnny Impact, and that's going to do it.
Eli Drake, here is your winner, and still the Impact Global Champion, Eli Drake.
An assist by Alberto El Patron, but make no mistake about it, this man did not care about Eli Drake. This man did not care about Johnny Impact. This man only cares for himself.
Hayes, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a minute. We've both been busy, for sure. We both just couldn't get to Bound for Glory, and then, last night couldn't get around to getting the Impact. I mean, look, I feel like I speak on both of our behalves. Well, that's a weird way to put it. I feel like I speak on your behalf as well as my own. If these shows were really worth diving into and analyzing, then we'd feel a lot worse about being a little bit late with this review. But these shows definitely ultimately not really worth a lot of time and effort, so forgive us, I guess, people. I don't know, Hayes, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't like the aspect of leaving any of our listeners hanging with content. I mean, the WWPN is known for the way we produce content, the rate we produce content at. And, you know, considering it was a pay-per-view, I did feel bad that we did not get anything out there sooner. But really, I struggle to think anybody was really, really looking forward to it. Matter of fact, Josh, we may be the only two people watching Impact Wrestling. We're single-handedly keeping this company alive.
I might have been the only person that legit bought it. Hayes, I paid $40 for Bound for Glory.
Do you not have a Fire Stick?
Hayes, I don't resort to illegal methods.
Yeah. I have no
Hayes, I do. Hayes, I do. But it's a testament to how excited I was for the show. But, I mean, we'll get into that, but it was a waste of my $40. But, Hayes, how is your life? Is it as cold in Ohio as it is here in New York? Because as of tonight, it's the 10th of November, 2017. It got major fucking cold here in New York City. How was it down there in Columbus, Ohio?
It was cold as shit. Matter of fact, as we speak, I'm sitting here with a blanket wrapped around my body, and the only thing that's getting in is a little bit of air where my mic is faced right towards my mouth. So that's how I'm podcasting right now.
It sounds like you are like cozy as fuck, but also I get like this creepy image in my head of you just bundled up like a homeless man in a corner of an alley, one microphone in front of you, some rambling, incoherent thoughts. That's generally your over, isn't it, anyway?
Yeah, so something like that. But now I have to find a homeless man and give him one of my old microphones, because that sounds like a dope podcast. Like I at 10 million downloads per episode, the podcast of the homeless.
Well, he's not doing anything, so maybe he'd actually show up on time for a Bound for Glory review. Be better than your ass.
Screw you, man. Screw you.
Hey, I'm just out here trying to find good recruits, and you're the one trying to strap microphones to homeless people. You know, I mean, who's really the bad guy here?
I mean,
they have things to say, so, you know, they have takes to deliver.
That would almost be a better use, because I definitely think we're almost far too talented to be podcasting about Impact Wrestling as it stands right now. Like that's almost how I feel. It's like we should just get on the podcast and just say, yeah, it was bad. It's still Impact, and just it stopped the recording right there. Everybody will understand what that means.
Or at the very least, just like touch on Impact and then just talk about literally anything else. I mean, we could. I don't know. Maybe people let us know. But I feel like if this show continues to just underperform and not deliver like it has, like when we initially wanted to, maybe this is just a transitional period for our podcast in particular to transition into something else entirely. Because if this 2-hour TV show isn't worth a 1-hour podcast, then maybe it should just be worth a segment on our 1-hour podcast. But just a thought. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll definitely work out the kinks there. But yeah, if Impact stays as bad, a change is going to come. Yes, it is.
Yeah, because God knows we've seen enough changes to this TV show as it stands. So maybe it stands to give this podcast one change itself. But I guess we do have a lot to cover here in terms of Bound for Glory and the November 9th edition of Impact Wrestling. So without further ado, Hayes, I guess we should get right in to the recap, the review, I guess, Bound for Glory, Impact. A big episode here of Let Me Talk to You.
Let's do it.
Eli Drake. Hasta la muerte y después.
I'm Allie.
Folks, welcome to Let Me Talk to You.
The best guy here, the best guy there, the best guy anywhere.
On the Wrestling World Podcast Network.
What I'm telling you.
Listen, slap ass.
Let me talk to you.
Big episode, I guess, in the fact that, again, I paid $40 just to review one part of this episode. And one part, I mean, we're not even going to really review Bound for Glory here, because it wasn't really worth reviewing. First off, going into the pay-per-view, Anthem laid off hella people in Impact. Pretty much all the referees that worked Bound for Glory were local refs. They had a skeleton crew, production-wise. And Taya Valkyrie couldn't make it to Canada, so her match with Rosemary was scrapped, and Rosemary was eventually seen in the Abyss versus Grado match. But a lot of changes going into this show, really apparent that this company's finances, just perpetual dire straits, but this was just ridiculous, including the fact that, I mean, the law, live audio wrestling, looks to have been dismantled for the sake of saving money for Impact Wrestling, which kind of, to me, makes it, like, ethically weird to support this show, because, my God, the law, a pantheon of wrestling podcasting, is gone after 20-plus years because of this company and its just destructive path it seems to incur over the wrestling industry. And I can't say that the production values were good at all. It looked like a skeleton crew. The night ended with a black screen with white text that said match cards or something like that. They couldn't even end the. I mean, it was a tragedy on all fronts in terms of the production, the storylines, and generally the matches were sloppy. So that's a quick and dirty little statement about Bound for Glory. Hayes, give me your quick and dirty about it.
It was a bullshit ass show. It was terrible. And honestly, when this is booked as your show of the year, this is your WrestleMania, and you proceed to put on a terrible farce of a wrestling show outside of the X Division match, which was still only so-so itself. I mean, it was cool. I really didn't care about anything on this card. Like, I wanted to shoot myself in the kneecap just so I can have an excuse to go away. Because this, and I'm sorry, yeah, that's a bit of an exaggeration. That's not a bit. That's a huge exaggeration. But it's seriously, it's almost a slap in the face for the people who have supported this company, who have continued to watch, even when they've been on the downturn, when they don't really know what they want to do. I've sat here and I've watched this show. Even when this podcast took a hiatus, I was still watching Impact because I wanted to stay on top of what was going on. And I enjoy a lot of the talent in this company, and they've all been booked and used to shit. EC3, Eli Drake, they're better than this. Freaking Abyss has been in this company almost since the start, and he deserves better than that. You bring these people from AAA over, like, they deserve better than that. This was just a terrible, terrible wrestling show, and to considering that they charge and you, sir, paid $40 like this, where a fucking company like What Culture is giving away shows free on YouTube that are way better quality than this, this is just, it's a slap in the face.
And it's just, it to pay $40 for a show that it looked like $40 was the budget for the entire show, when you got mistakes being made. Like you said, Abyss is more deserving of a match where the bell, the bell ringer fucking rang the bell a little bit early, counting a 3 count when it was an obvious 2 count, and then it was confusion abounding in the match that just completely threw off what was already an unsuccessful match with him, between him and Grado, which, by the way, Grado, I guess, is gone from the company now because he lost that match. And it's just, it was an unimpressive show on a night where every time there's a pay-per-view with this company, you and me discuss one thing. All eyes are on this company. What are they going to do? And even when Impact was really good as a television show, I recall us saying, for both Bound for Glory last year and Slammiversary last year and Slammiversary earlier this year, all three of those previous pay-per-views, again, all eyes are on the company, and the company didn't deliver. This one, probably the most egregious of the four pay-per-views that we have reviewed in our time here at Let Me Talk to You, the most egregiously bad pay-per-view of the four, and the one that probably had the most at stake.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, well, thank you for the insightful fighting commentary there. I will say one thing as a result that I did buy it. There was a chat of all the people that, I guess, bought the pay-per-view next to it, and it featured Velvet Sky. The only notable thing that I was able to capture was that she says that TNA has more creative freedom than WWE. Well, that's wonderful. Hopefully, all those creative minds in TNA can eventually come up with something better than what they produced tonight. But generally, she was actually pretty good. Impact right now feels very WCW. A lot of things we'll bring up in this episode of Impact from this past week sound very WCW, and the fact that we had a live chat going on, oh my god, I felt like I was logging on to like the CompuServe and talking to the giant or something like that, you know what I mean?
Those were the good old days.
Dude, yeah, well, I mean, I didn't really know those good old days. That was before my time, really. I was born in 94, so make of that what you will. Just a lot of matches that I was looking forward to. One in particular was OVE versus LAX at Bound for Glory that I thought was really just under-delivered in that street fight. It looked like they tried to attempt a double turn, but because especially, I mean, now in hindsight, it definitely, like, that's why I feel like, because I didn't even pick that up the night that it happened, but now that I watched this week's Impact, I was like, oh, OVE is the heels and LAX are the faces now, so okay. But when it happened, I didn't even pick up on it because I don't think the crowd picked up on it. The match was sloppy and wasn't that particularly that great. In my mind, OVE were already the heels and LAX were already the faces, so, I mean, that was the match that I was looking forward to, and it totally didn't deliver, and OVE are still fucking boring, even though Sami Callihan debuted on their behalf.
Sami Callihan. Like, I knew he was coming. I read it. But yeah, the double turn was poorly executed. Everything on the show was poorly executed. I could say that about every match. There was something poorly executed in every one of these goddamn matches. I will say I like the fact that they tried to at least surprise us. They try to do something that should be shocking. They try to do something to change the dynamic with LAX. But like this company tends to do, it was pulled off piss poorly.
And like you get a Canadian guy in Tyson Dukes and you have him lose to Taiji Ishimori, who's basically a nobody in Impact Wrestling right now. You've got a women's triple threat where you give a Gail Kim the win, who's already retiring. You know she's retiring, so yeah, great way to put over the other women's wrestlers. You've got you spend your American top team versus Moose and Stefan Bonner match with worked jujitsu and grappling, which is just my least favorite thing to watch, I'll tell you. And they made it. It was probably the best looking worked ground stuff that I've ever seen. But it's still awful to watch that shit. It just does not work on any level. It wasn't a compelling match because Stefan Bonner and Kimo are not great wrestlers. And then a main event, which was on its way to being wonderful. And this is the guy I feel like we could both focus and pinpoint with a laser our criticisms on for both Bound for Glory and even this Impact show. Alberto El Patron, just a wildly bad mistake bringing this guy back into the show. He shows up at Bound for Glory, cuts a coked out promo for 20, 25 minutes, just kills the momentum of the show, comes out in the main event and ruins the main event. And just the crowd doesn't want to see it at all. And then he comes out on this next episode of Impact and just wastes everybody's time in this just overly long, bloated backstage fight. And he's all over the show. When who could give a fuck about this guy when you know he'll probably be suspended in a month?
Yeah, or worse, fired. Who knows? Yeah, he shouldn't have been on the show. He shouldn't be in this goddamn company. But me, you've talked about that already.
All right. Well, you know that. I mean, Bound for Glory. Could you give it? We did. I mean, just to cap it off, could you even give it a rating? What would you rate it?
Fuck. Shit. A 4.5.
Yeah, I was gonna give it 5. 4.5. I was gonna give it 5. That sounds about right. I mean, I've seen a lot lower. I mean, PW Insider gave it 3. 411 Mania gave it 3. I mean, not great reviews all around. So I guess we're being on the generous side. I did like the X Division match. AAA GFW match was fine, I guess. I mean, a lot of things were fine. But it's supposed to be your WrestleMania, and it felt like, Saturday night, or Shotgun Saturday night. That's what it felt like.
And the thing is that, I mean, just to boil it down, Bound for Glory felt like a middle of the tapings episode of Impact. It didn't even seem like the best episode of regular Impact. It's just crazy.
Well, the episode of regular Impact that we got on November 9th, 2017, which we'll go into right now, definitely did not get a post-pay-per-view bump. In fact, it got the opposite. This past episode of Impact was the lowest rated Impact Wrestling episode of 2017. Hitting a 2017 low of a 0.04 rating in the 18 to 49 demo with 250,000 viewers. Hayes, we are two of the 250,000 people that watched this show this week. What are the odds that some of those are listening to this podcast?
I mean, we average around... It's, fuck it, it. Let Me Talk to You has dropped so far. Like, we used to be up there in the 400 and 500s. That we're like at 150 now. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. It sucks, and it's not because of the quality of the show. It's just because nobody watches Impact. They see the shows covering Impact Wrestling, and they just skip right over.
Well, I mean, and we also kind of skip right over it too, because it's like, who can give a fuck about this show anymore? It's a shame. They bring it down everybody, including us. They start off the show. JB and Matthews are in the ring. Look, the aura of the show is supposed to be this dramatic new change for the company, but anybody that watched Bound for Glory and tunes in for this show has already lapsed on this new rebirth of the company. But their cheery smiles as they announce the matches for the night, including the first ever match for the GHC Championship in North America, which, you know, that's all right. That got my interest there, to be honest. And then they throw to a recap of Bound for Glory. Eli Drake and Chris Adonis come in to no piped in booze. Look at that. That's a great improvement there. And this is really the first proper shots that we get of our new arena here in Ottawa. And it becomes obvious from the jump who in attendance paid to be there and who were paid to be there. As many in the crowd are clapping for Eli and cheering for him, but when production throws to close-ups of other fans, those fans go from doing nothing to booing and giving him thumbs down. So I thought that was pretty hilarious. You could easily tell, because they're really bad at editing things, who was there, who was paid to be there, and who probably paid money to be there. It also became obvious how small this crowd size is in this arena size. The bleachers that they had only went back 6 rows, and honestly, to me, that's okay. It kind of reminds me of an episode of World Championship Wrestling from the 1980s, but financially, it's probably not okay. And also, episodes of World Championship Wrestling, the crowds were actually pretty hot for what was going on. And spoiler alert, large portions of the night, this crowd could not be won over by the show, and you couldn't blame that crowd at all.
Yeah, dude, who got the biggest pop of the night? You think Petey Williams got the biggest pop of the night?
Yeah, I was going to say Petey Williams, or, you know, definitely in that arena, probably Petey Williams. But probably the biggest pop of the night came from Border City Wrestling and Alley, you know, and that's a shame. That's ridiculous, right? Border City Wrestling had the better, I want Border City Wrestling Impact. Fuck this company. I want to watch Border City Wrestling for the rest of the time. Their fans are into it, and it actually looked like they had some people there.
Yeah, they did. They seemed more into the product. I would be interested to see what Border City Wrestling's all about, because their fans definitely were into it. These Impact fans, not so much.
Well, in all honesty, before Eli or Adonis can start, as they entered the ring, the crowd got into an Eli Drake chant, which, you know, first, really one of the few times, again, you got to remember, one of the few times that this Impact roster has been on the road in front of a live audience, especially recording a TV in a setting where you've got promos and things like that in front of a live audience, as opposed to a house show where you have matches. You get to really see what can get over. Eli Drake clearly over, even with this small crowd of, I think it was 350 people that was announced for these tapings. Before he could start, like I said, they're chanting his name. But Adonis comes out and says, he tells everybody to sit down and shut up because you know, they need to respect the champ. That elicits boos because they're all fucking marks, dude. And then we get some Johnny chants. That eventually interrupts Adonis' promo. And honestly, like, look, this is a crowd that's actually, like, hot for this show. And that's actually nice to see. Eventually, Eli grabs the mic and says everything was gravy except for Alberto. Yeah. Gotta agree with you there, Eli. And they zoom in on the bell, and I swear to God, Hayes, this belt is the Global Force Wrestling Global Championship belt with a piece of laminated paper over top of it that says Impact. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's terrible. Like, this is what... Just bring back the old goddamn TNA title at this point. Like, I don't know. Like, they have all these titles that all say GFW on it. I didn't pay attention to any of the other titles. I don't even think I saw the X Division title, but... If they're just slapping Impact stickers on shit now, what the hell? Laminated Impact sticker. Like, yeah, that's what this company's come to.
And as OSW Review would say, the state of your belt. And Eli says that management will throw poop at the walls to find a challenger as he's beaten everyone. He opines that Canada is complete garbage, and so he's happy to be out of here soon enough, which prompts the entrance of one Petey Williams, who comes out to the Canadian National Anthem. It'd be kind of weird if just a wrestler came out to the American National Anthem, but I guess it's not too played out in Canada. He says that nobody wants him in Canada anyways, and that Eli hasn't beaten everyone, like, you know, Petey Williams. And says that Eli should put the belt on the line tonight. Eli asks him first to use his inside voice and reminds him that he has the night off courtesy of management and that he'll be glad to face him next week. Petey says, and I quote, "I sure as hell didn't give you the night off," as if he has any sort of managerial prowess at all, and it's the ring. Adonis pathetically tries to stop him. He gets kicked once, and that does that. Eli Drake goes in and starts to beat him up, but he gets reversed. Petey looks for the Canadian Destroyer. Adonis saves Eli and pulls him out of the ring. And we get set up for Eli Drake versus Petey Williams next week. Perfectly fine booking. Like to see the hometown hero go up against the cocky champion, and it's a good way to give Eli a fresh face to face in the main event next week. So can't complain about this opening segment at all. This may have been the best segment of the whole show.
Yeah, it was. As a matter of fact, it should have just ended here. End on a high note, no matter how long the show is. Just go home.
Honest to God, this is probably my two favorite performers in this company right now, is Eli Drake and Petey Williams. So, yeah. He could have ended this right here, and it would have ended on top. Johnny Impact breaks a bunch of speed limits in a Chrysler arriving to arena and just parks his car in the middle of the street because he's a dick. After the break, JV announces Petey versus Eli Drake next week. I already said that. And then we cut to the announce table where he announces that, and Josh Matthews. And Josh Matthews, under his name, it says Vice President of Digital Media. I really want to know who the VP of Analog Media is. And Jimmy Jacob approaches the desk where Josh takes a selfie with him because he's hilarious and he's in on all your jokes. And then Jimmy says that he joins the announce team for the next match, which is Sunday. Sanjay Dutt versus Matt Sydal. What did you think of Jimmy Jacobs' performance on the announce desk tonight last night on Impact?
It wasn't great by any means, but I will say this. Terrible as Josh Matthews can be sometimes, I enjoyed it for what it was. I just because it was something different. Maybe I was just grasping for something to catch my interest in this terrible show. But I pretty much enjoyed him. His voice is kind of annoying, but I enjoyed what he had to say.
You enjoyed Jimmy Jacobs, what he had to say, or Josh Matthews?
No, Jimmy Jacobs. I almost rarely ever enjoy anything that comes out of Josh Matthews' mouth.
Well, I don't know. You said something about Josh Matthews, and I was like, wait, are you liking Josh Matthews? Hayes, is that you?
Yeah, if I ever say anything that about me liking Josh Matthews, promptly call the police and tell them that you can confirm I have been switched with an alien.
Are the police the first people you call when an alien abducts someone? I mean, there's got to be a different point of contact for alien abductions. I mean, you know, the Ghostbusters, that's one thing, but we don't even know if those guys exist. Surely there's, I mean, who do you call?
I don't know. The Avengers? I have no idea.
Okay, well, I don't think the Avengers exist either, do they?
We don't know. You never know.
You say you never know. I think I do know. But you say you never know. I'm pretty set in my knowledge that they don't.
Well, what do you have to base that off of? You don't know if they're out there for real. Thor could be out there. We just wouldn't know.
No.
I'm sorry. I have to entertain myself some way because this episode of Impact surely did not. But keep it going, Josh.
Well, Jimmy Jacobs didn't necessarily entertain me either. I thought that he was creative in some things that he said, but it's just kind of listless right now. It's continually just like these teases. You don't know why he's there. It reminds me a lot of when Cyrus came through on WWF in the Attitude Era, wherein like you could tell like he's obviously he's got good cadence and he's got good delivery and like but what he's saying, like, you don't really care about what's happening in the ring. You don't really care about, and it's just not getting over at all, but you could tell that there's talent there. He reminds me a lot of Cyrus on commentary in that, like, it's just it's something's there that I can appreciate, but it's not there enough for me to get into. But as for the match itself, the match was actually like pretty decent. It was really long, in all honesty, and it kind of kept it had a very TV match feel to it all the way up until the end. I mean, there was no real momentum swing up at the end, as the finish was ended by a shooting star press from Seidel, but EC3's music hit after as he comes out with his Impact Grand Championship belt, which that still has the logo from, I don't know, four logos ago. Again, state of your belts, Impact Wrestling. But I don't know why he's out there. He goes out there and tells Seidel that he always chokes and that one day maybe he'll be reborn into a winner. So EC3 goes out there and talks shit to Matt Seidel, who can't be asked to get a microphone and actually respond to anything. So we get a pretty solid, if average, match, and then an EC3 dissing of Matt Seidel afterwards. What are your thoughts?
I want to say that I cared, but I really didn't. EC3, there was something weird in the way EC3 was acting to me. But even more so, EC3 and Matt Seidel, like, that's really where they're going with this. I don't know. It just seems like it'll be better served for both these guys to be in some different feuds. But I'm sure the matches are going to be okay. But yeah, this whole interaction just came off really weird to me.
It's just weird because it seems like all these names on paper, you know, Jimmy Jacobs is commentating over Matt Seidel versus Sanjay Dutt, and then EC3 runs in at the end. You look, just think about that out of context. On paper, that sounds pretty good, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
Impact happened.
But what does that mean? I don't know. Like, it was so flat. Like, the match, I don't understand why matches come like against people that you have seen have good matches, arguably even against each other, and they just, it doesn't translate on Impact Wrestling TV. The commentary is flat. Jimmy Jacobs can't get over, and EC3 comes out, does his Chris Jericho impression, and it's just, the storytelling is completely flat. It's just something about it, and I can't put my finger on it. Why, like, the talent that's associated with this isn't elevating the shit writing. I don't even know if it's shit writing. Everything's just so bland. It's so bland that it's tough to put your finger on what is making it so bland. That just shows how generally bland it truly is, because there's no one aspect of it that's outstandingly more bland than the others.
That's a great question. What is it that makes Impact Wrestling so inherently bland? I don't know. It's hard to like put into words. Like, it just feels like it's missing something, like some oomph, some creativity. I don't really know what to call it, but when you watch this show, it just screams like a show that it's just going through the motions. Like, the best thing I can compare it to is that, you know how if somebody's really tall, people say, oh, you should play basketball because you're tall, and that person doesn't really have any passion for the sport. They're just playing because people told them they should play. That's what I feel like Impact Wrestling is. Anthem bought this company because they wanted a wrestling company. Now that they have it, they're putting on a wrestling show with no passion. They're just doing what they have seen other companies do, what they think a wrestling show should look like. and not trying to put any type of creative spin on it at all.
And yeah, and it's patently obvious when you come through on Bound for Glory in that, despite the fact that none of the factors that people have always blamed on for having the shit finishes and the shit bookings and TNA over the course of this company's history, all those people are gone. There's no Russo. There's no Jeff Jarrett. There's no whoever you want to blame. There's this new regime, and they end up with a fucked finish ending of Bound for Glory and then other storylines from 1997 WCW. And it's like, where are they getting these ideas from? Why did they think that this would work 20 years later? It's an outdated way of thinking about the product, and it involves people that have come up with great stuff in the modern day, and you just wonder why this committee continues to disappoint on every level, because it's a good roster overall. But anyway, we'll just get back into the show. Impact, Johnny Impact comes through. He's anger strutting through the back looking for Alberto Del Rio. And then we get a GWN flashback to 2004. It's Team Canada, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, and Petey Williams versus Sanjay Dutt, Amazing Red, and Hector Garza. And I wrote down in my notes as soon as it started, fuck, this is going to be the best thing in the show, isn't it? I don't know if I was wrong. I was maybe not wrong in that case. It was literally total nonstop action. It was electric commentary and a fire crowd. It was fantastic television, and it was great to watch. It really makes you miss the olden days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it did. I mean, hey, Petey Williams, like, I guess I didn't realize just how much smaller he used to be than what he is now. But yeah, it was good to see that. It was very nostalgic, and I enjoyed it, man. I wish we can go back to those times. I wish we can pull out whoever was booking back then, bring them into now, and give them this roster. I guarantee you they'll deliver some way better shit than what they did today.
The fact that they had Don West come back for selling T-shirts, and you hear him on commentary in this match, and you're like, how in the world are they not having this guy be a full-time commentator? Everything that happens, he elevates to an insane degree because of his excitement. I guarantee you, you watch the X Division match from either tonight or from Bound for Glory, and he's going ape shit, and it would make it sound so much better. The Monsters Ball match, he would be going ape shit and make it sound so much better. I mean, like, you've got... I mean, JB and Josh Matthews are the most bland and boring announce team in wrestling today, in my opinion. I can't stand them. I mean, I think that they're absolutely awful. And, like, you, in contrast with this clip from 2004, it's just, like, Tenay and Don West are screaming. Maybe they're even screaming to keep up over the crowd, because the crowd is going crazy as well. It's just, it's times that can't be replicated, you know? And it's... In the words of Andy from The Office, something about, you know, you don't know when you're living in the good old days until they've actually passed you by. And I don't know if anybody watching TNA in 2004 knew how good those good old days actually would become, because in hindsight, man, they were great.
Yes, they were. A young company that was out for something to prove, a roster that was out for something to prove, and just the passion in this company and in almost every match. It just, boy, I miss it so much.
Well, following that, we did get, if not that flashback, in terms of what was actually produced in the modern day, in this modern episode of Impact, this might have been the best thing on the show, and that was the GHC Championship match between El Hijo de Fantasma and Eddie Edwards. Executive director of NOAH, somebody named Uchida. He was presenting the championship, and Matthews pointed out the fact that this was the first time that the GHC Championship was being defended outside, in North America. So that's That's pretty exciting. Also, he pointed out that this match required the only difference in the rules, since it's a NOAH Rules Championship match, is that there's a 20 count instead of a 10 count. Not entirely fair, because the 20 count's supposed to be counted faster, but blah, blah, blah. Overall, it was a really good match. The crowd got into this match maybe the more than any other match on the show, as a Blue Thunder Bomb by Eddie got a near fall, got them to chant Eddie. He hit a Boston Knee Party and a Die Hard Flosion, I guess is what it's called, to get the pin. And it should have been a lot longer, to be honest with you. It was under 10 minutes, but for the match that was under 10 minutes, it was a lot of fun. If they could I wish that they would. There's something to be said if they could give this more time, give this like 20 minutes, have like, you know, a GHC, like Pro Wrestling NOAH division, where people can get like strong style Japanese matches for free on American television every week. That's got to be some semblance of viewership there that they could take advantage of, that I think is evidenced in this match, that it could work and could get over as the crowd got into it. And I would just, I don't know, it's they have this resource at their fingertips. It's surprising that they don't use it more.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. They should use it more. But who knows what they're doing in this company, as the theme of this show.
OVE with Sami Callihan versus Ray Steele, Phil Atlas, and a guy named Burke. The ref had no control over this match. OVE triple slammed or triple teamed one dude with what's called the all-seeing eye for the win. LAX comes out with Homicide, Ortiz, and Santana. They beat up and run off OVE, essentially confirming the double turn. So this match, squash match, classic. The faces come out and chase off the heels. You know, yeah, groundbreaking stuff here, Hayes.
I don't even know what to say, honestly, Josh. I really don't.
OVE, you could have just left it at your sigh.
I could have left it at that. You didn't speak on it much, but Sami Callihan being an Impact. And then we got announced today that Lucha Underground is coming back for season 4, so I don't know what that's going to do for these guys being in Impact. But does that do anything for you? Are you excited to see Sami Callihan at all in what is this company called? Impact Wrestling?
What is this company called, Hayes? It's tough to remember sometimes. I guess. They've got to get rid of the name, first off. It's tough to take this team seriously with the name as absolutely terrible as Ohio versus everything. But look, as a mouthpiece for two guys that can really go, I think that it could work. So time will tell. I don't want to say I'm excited for what's going to happen, because I can't get excited by anything in this company anymore. But I am intrigued, and I'm anticipating what will happen, because Sami Callihan is an extremely talented guy, and I think that he could work really well in this role.
Yeah, he is very talented. I don't know. I think the fact of Johnny Impact being in this company, how he just doesn't seem like him, has kind of ruined my excitement for anyone else coming from Lucha Underground, because it doesn't feel the same. They don't feel like themselves. I'm surprised they didn't change Johnny Impact's name to Johnny Canada, just to keep that heat going. But we'll see. Hopefully Sammy does get a match. I don't know who'd I like to see him mixed up with outside of when this LAX thing's over with, but I like him being paired with OVE, at least from an aesthetic standpoint, but I just need to see more from the team. I feel no attachment to OVE at all, and that's what is going to be more of a problem in the long run for this tag team, because it's just, I mean, they're just here, and I don't really care.
Well, somebody that nobody really cares about is Hakeem Zayn. Remember, he won Global Forged. Hayes, did you watch any Global Forged?
No, no. It pains me to watch the 2 hours I do. I really don't watch any more coming from this company than what I have to.
You don't need to provide any excuses. I didn't either. So I don't think anybody else did. But Hakeem Zayn won it. He gets an interview with Mackenzie Mitchell, and he says that he's important because he won it. But immediately Johnny Impact proves that he's not important. as he axe handles him to the ground, and he grabs the camera to tell Alberto that he's coming for blood, as if Alberto was watching this live. Alberto saw Hakeem Zayn was having an interview, and he said, "Everybody shut up. I have to listen to this Hakeem Zayn interview." And Johnny Impact thought, this is the perfect time to get a message across to Alberto Patron. But I don't know. Interesting tactic on his behalf. We'll cut to Border City Wrestling. It's Allie versus Casey Spinelli, which this was, again, I thought this was a really good match. It was a good heel face acting all over the match. The crowd really got into the match quickly. Allie was really over. I enjoyed the back and forth heel face moves. Especially one example that I wrote down was Allie drop kicking Casey's face into the turnbuckle for a near fall, but then Spinelli immediately being able to come back with a neck breaker. And she got a near fall off that. And after that, she continued to dominate. And, you know, you gave Allie that little hope after kicking Spinelli into the turnbuckle, and it was a great example of giving the face a brief tease of momentum and then crushing that momentum easily and going back to the heel domination. It's something that WWE really needs to learn from, in that their formula is that the heel continuously beats on the face and beats on the face and beats on the face, and the semblance of hope that the face can give for making a comeback never really manifests into anything. And while Allie's didn't either, it came across more convincing because her spot was set up. She set up Spinelli into this devastating kick into the turnbuckle. It seemed like a really big move that was ultimately her momentum was cut off. So just an aside that I wrote down that I really enjoyed about this match, and a lot of things about this match just screamed classic face heel, good stuff. The pace wound down a little bit later by the end, but eventually, Casey hit a really good fisherman suplex for a two count, and after that, Allie hit a super kick and a code breaker to get a wonderful near fall. Casey missed with a new moonsault, and Allie picked her up and hit a Death Valley driver for the win. Again, like I said, lots of love about this match. A really enjoyable match that that GHC championship match was really fun and really great, but this is a great match in its own right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to see Allie actually wrestling. I'm glad this whole she can't wrestle thing is over with, because she's a fine wrestler, and I hope we get to see more and more from her as it continues, as her career and Impact continues. I mean, the first year has basically been spent with her not being in the ring at all. So glad to see her wrestling against other women, and let's get her in this hunt for the Knockouts title soon.
Alberto walks into the arena, and he's asked by a cameraman about Johnny Impact, and he says that he'll kick Johnny's trasero, which is groundbreaking stuff for a man who I've never heard say that before. And then we cut to a different promo with Allie, who's excited that she actually won. She wonders what Gail's big announcement next week will be. I wonder that too. It's probably that she's going to retire and leave the belt up for somebody else, and she'll referee the match. I don't know. I've not read spoilers or anything. Don't take that the wrong way. That's just my guess. It'll be something generic like that. And then Mackenzie comes in the back. Alberto's sitting down in front of this black apron, and she comes over to interview him, and Johnny Impact just dives into the frame and takes him out. It was a really good camera still. And then that proceeds to incur a 20-minute like backstage battle between the two, a backstage brawl. It includes a side brawl between Braxton Sutter and Caleb Conley, which, oh man, yeah, everybody was really on the edge of the seats it was going to happen to those two people. And, you know, Johnny Impact jumped off the top of a bathroom and took out a bunch of people. It ended up back in the ring. Security was involved over and over again, and they were completely useless. Alberto continued to clown Impact and say the management is screwing him. Look, this wasn't really a main event. It was just, Alberto beating up a guy because he wants his championship back. But he's not beating up the champion. He's beating up a guy who's lost to the champion. So on no level does this really make sense, and it's tough to suspend your disbelief for this one, especially when it goes on for so fucking long. It was nearly sleep inducing here, and that's not good for a backstage street fight brawl-esque scene.
Yeah, it just wasn't good at all. I'm sorry. As far as street fights goes, this was on the bottom of the barrel. And then when Johnny Impact did do the whole jump off the bathroom thing, like if you notice, he didn't even land anywhere close to Alberto. It was all security. It's so many problems I had with this and how it was shot.
Well, right after that, they had like this shit edit to like pretend that Alberto was a part of that when he clearly wasn't. I mean, exactly. And it was an awful edit too. It didn't even look continuous in any way.
Just terrible, terrible shit coming out this company. If this is what we're going to have to look forward to now that they moved to Canada, man, just be prepared for those ratings to get lower and lower every week, because this is not good, sir.
Well, I mean, I guess it's up to you and me now to decide how not good it was, as you've given your rating for Bound for Glory as a 4.5. And what is your rating for this Impact following Bound for Glory, which, again, was the lowest rated Impact of 2017?
This was a 5 for me. It was better than Bound for Glory for sure, but there's just so many problems that I had without the show. And when the best thing that, well, one of the best things that happened on your show is a match from, what, 10 years ago? That's not a good sign at all. And then the other good thing on the show was a match that wasn't even technically in your company or in your ring. So there you go. I mean, they had a pretty good segment during the show that was here, but it just wasn't much here, man. It was filler. This was a filler.
Lots of filler, to be fair. But for me, I give it like a 6.5, especially like I would give Bound for Glory like a 4 or 4.5, something like what you said. But this was definitely a boost up, because the quality of the matches were just better. The GHC Championship match was great. The women's match was great. Sydal versus Dot was okay. A lot of things that were really good on this night. And, of course, that retro flashback. It just gets held back by the incessant use of Alberto Del Patron and this silly, prolonged main event backstage brawl that was boring and didn't really go anywhere. So, look, I'm just over this company right now. I'm not looking forward to watching next week, but we'll be here, I guess. I look forward to talking to you next week, Hayes, because it's always good to at least go through this with a partner in crime. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If I would have had to record this podcast by myself today, it would have just been me literally picking up the microphone saying, yep, Impact sucks, putting it down, putting a nice intro song on the intro and just letting that be it, because this just wasn't good. Luckily, I do have you to talk to about this, where we can actually bounce stuff off and make it entertaining. This podcast was definitely the best part about watching Impact Wrestling this week.
I feel like it is too. But Hayes, where can they find you, where they can tune in to what other podcasts you're doing? Because you do a lot of podcasting out there and on a lot of different avenues and a lot of different channels. Where can they stay tuned in to your silky smooth voice?
Well, you can follow me at CEO Hayes. That's at CEO HAIZE. More importantly, go to thewpn.com, where you can find all the podcasts on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. And then if you want to check out, if you want to do my side project, which is non-wrestling related, you can check me out. I'm The Awakened Soul on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Tuned In, and I think that's it. So yeah, check me out.
Yeah, folks, be sure to tune in to the wise words of CEO Hayes on any and all of his platforms. As for me, I'm at VERLANDJ. If you'd like to come interact with me online, because that's what this is for. Come check out the show at thewpn.com. Share it and let us know what you thought about it. Let us know what you thought about the show. Were you more enthusiastic about the show? Are you disappointed that we were not as enthusiastic about the show? We want to know. And so please do let us know at any of the avenues that we have just mentioned. But Hayes, do you have anything else to say, any parting words of wisdom before we wish everybody adieu?
Yes, I do. I want to speak on just very briefly the things that are going on and coming out of Hollywood. For anyone, I can't stress enough is to speak up. Don't hold on. Don't keep it to yourself. If anyone is having any type of sexual misconduct around you, I can't stress enough how much it is to have someone you confide in, report it, and just get that out there, because you never know how you sharing your story could help the next person.
CEO Hayes dropping his truth bombs. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening. We'll see you next week. I'm fed up, dismissing the competition. You're hopeless, I'm trash in remission. Listen, you want a class on tradition? On one condition, forget the best of the century.